is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, Dell is just being difficult today, as always. I had a crossfade. I had something working today. John is out, and I had something special because we have the entirety of the Off-Script podcast that, Dell, you would have been perfect on, because there's a lot of snark on this podcast.
Well,
a lot of snark.
You're blaming me for something you tried to set up 30 seconds before the show started.
Well, I mean, you got to be able to improv.
Well, no, that's not improv. That's just panic.
I consider you quick-witted. Well, maybe I overshot.
Maybe you should
thinking on your feet.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have come in here 10 minutes ago, go, hey, let's do this, instead of 30 seconds before the show started.
I was doing some other stuff.
Uh-huh.
I was looking at stuff on the computer. John's
stuff.
Not here, so not as many good backsides on the computer.
Some people are gamers, you know, others aren't.
That's Eric Layden. You also heard Chris Solis. These are the guys I did my podcast with when I was in the middle of non-compete, and we had a lot of fun. We're going to try not to cuss on this one. It was the first thing that people from the radio station, who are radio listeners, which would have been everybody listening to me. I didn't have any other way they would have listened to me. The first thing he said was, I just, it's weird hearing you cuss. It's different hearing you cuss. Like, well, you're not really around me in real life. So that's just kind of how it is.
Cussing's the deal.
Yeah, cussing happens. I don't do it just to do it, but sometimes it really accentuates.
I'm not a proponent of it, but sometimes Right. It's necessary.
Yeah, sometimes it's very necessary. That's Chris Solis. He's in studio. Eric Layden is joining us from LA off an iPad. I told you it works, Eric. This broadcast off an iPad is good. You sound like you're right here in studio with us.
Yeah, well, I feel like it. You know, I feel like I'm right there with you, other than it's 4:30 in the morning or whatever time it is.
Yeah, you're a little early.
4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
5:02. My bad, 5:02.
Yeah, it's a little early there. I did two broadcasts from San Jose when I was there. Oh, here's the worst. When I was at 790, I had to do, you know, the first round of the NFL draft. I do the broadcast for NFL Now. So it ends at, I don't know, 10. I don't even know what time Central. 10:30, whatever it is.
Right.
And then they say, oh, Lance, we also want a second and third round mock draft. We need it tonight. All right. That's going to take a minimum of 3 hours. A minimum. So I end up, it actually takes more than that. So I end up getting to bed.
How tight is the third round mock draft, by the way? It's
dialed
in.
And I'm sitting there, trying to actually get it right like a fool. You know, because I already know people are going to be.
Todd McShay's already just slapped the notebook, cranked it out.
I know. Nothing. It's like, I don't care. Who cares? I'm trying to get it right like an idiot. And so I get to bed at like 1:30 or 1 o'clock Pacific time. Well, that's 3 Central. And I had a 6 a.m. show. This is the day after they drafted Deshaun Watson. So I wake up. I get 2.5 hours of sleep. Wake up. Trying to do the show LA time, which was, like I said, you know, I'm waking up at 3:30 to do a 4 a.m. show, which was 6 a.m. here. I was a little tired. I was a little cranky, frankly. I couldn't find anything right with the Deshaun Watson trailer. Like,
man, I don't know. Those interceptions. It doesn't sound. I just don't even know. Alabama, big deal. Like, I couldn't. What'd you think about this pick? Terrible. What about this one? Well,
they only had one pick at that particular time. But they moved up. They gave away first rounders. Deshaun better be really good. And as we found out from radio partner John Granato, who's out today, he has Deshaun pegged at about 48 passing touchdowns this year.
I heard that yesterday.
Yeah, he said, I got 20. Will Deshaun Watson throw? Ready, Eric? Here's what Granato. And I don't think I'm out of. John's a bit of a Deshaun optimist, I think. That's fair to say.
I think he took a day off because his knees hurt. From all the stuff he was doing yesterday.
To Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, he needed to rest his knees.
Okay.
Dell. Jeez.
He had a knee day. He took a knee day.
Good Lord.
Took a knee day. He goes, will Deshaun have more than 29 touchdowns? And I was like, and I was trying to think. He goes, after the first 10 games.
Oh, come
on. I said, well, that's a pace of like three. You're talking about a pace of 3 touchdowns a game? He goes, yeah. It's completely serious. I don't think he was being facetious, was he, Dale?
This guy was like, you know, Tom Brady's only thrown for 40 touchdowns once is when he got to 50. He's like, and?
He goes, yeah.
So?
And Dale.
So?
And Dale.
What are you saying?
And I said, John, at that pace, that's 48 touchdowns. I honestly don't think he did the math. He goes, well.
I said, that's, he said he might slow down.
Yeah, he said he could slow down afterwards. I said, that's Manning territory.
That tells me DeAndre Hopkins is in for a sick season.
Oh, well, that's what I was going to say. Who is he throwing to? Well, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins Fuller, is going to be double-teamed.
Griff.
15 touchdowns maybe, for Will
maybe
Fuller.
Braxton Miller is going to have a big-time comeback.
Double digits.
I'm thinking this is a year for Braxton. Huh? That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe Kiki Kuti is the new, is our new Hopkins.
I talked to some people from camp yesterday to get a heads up on what's going on, and they're like, "Ooh, Will Fuller looks really good, really, really good." He was flying. Now, this is also scares me. He was flying by Aaron Colvin, like easy touchdown after easy touchdown from Deshaun, just bombing away, and I was like. Well, I like that part. I don't like the flying by the new cornerback who's supposed to save the secondary part. I wasn't crazy about
Fuller,
that.
Yeah, but Fuller, I mean, that is what Fuller does.
Yeah.
Fuller's got wheels. And he's, I mean, there's no doubt. He's gonna blow by 95% of the corners in that league. So.
Did you guys see Will Fuller's stats last year as it pertains to touchdowns?
With Deshaun, it was stupid.
With Deshaun, with anybody else since he's been there, I think people are really sleeping on Will Fuller because I always hear people who want to be right about having baby hands and drops and all this stuff. Well, the fact is, Will Fuller had 7 touchdowns and 28 catches last year.
He gets open.
He had a touchdown. He averaged a touchdown every 4 catches.
He's a playmaker.
He's a big-time playmaker.
Can he stay on the field?
Well, that's the thing. He's pretty brittle. You know who he worked out with this offseason? Is Equanimeous St. Brown's dad.
Oh.
John Brown, who is
Mr. Universe.
Mr. Universe. And now apparently Will Fuller's got his own like protein powders that he's doing. And I'm like, I'm thinking, I don't know. Will's a little light in the ass to be working out with Mr. Universe. I'm not sure how that works, but all
he
of
didn't
his
come to camp looking like Cushing.
Oof. No, he wasn't cushed up with his special beef jerky.
Okay.
He didn't have that. And by the way, all of his touchdowns were with Deshaun Watson.
Did anyone call Will Fuller David Boston yesterday?
No one. Ooh. He did not look like.
Oh, David Boston turned into an animal.
David Boston wasn't even trying to hide it. He came in looking like Barry Bonds. Like, what? David Boston, you look like a defensive tackle. Only a super thin defensive tackle. Oh. Oh, John is listening. He said, my knees are fine, and I did do the math. 48 is low. 48 is the low water mark. So Granato did, apparently 48, he said it and he meant it, and he will represent it.
And he hasn't even done the math for the rushing touchdown. So we're looking at 50-plus overall.
Hold on. Easily. John, you need to call. Call the show right now. I got to give you some news. There's some news that you need to know. Because I'm guessing I don't know where he is, but he's somewhere.
Somewhere ice in the knees.
He's somewhere, apparently.
He's in an ice bath.
He's got some knee work that was going on, apparently, is what Dell said. I don't think that's any different than the other day, Dell.
Deshaun's got ACL issues. John's got, I don't know what you would call those issues, but he's got
kneecap.
Kneecap issues.
Cap issues.
Cap issues? Yeah. So Texans camp is underway. J.J. Watt's. Apparently healthy. Chris?
Oh, he's fired up. Mm-hmm. He's ready to go.
Yeah. I know. JJ is like, JJ, he took a picture of himself and he said.
Was he swole?
It was very swole. Hulk swole is what they said.
Gotcha.
And
his hair was on point.
His hair was on point.
Hair
filter game was hair amazing.
Did. Yeah.
Hair was just messy enough. Let's get John in here right now. John, I saw some news, and I just thought, I don't know if John's awake yet or heard this or not, but he's going to actually lose his everlasting mind when he hears this. You ready for this? Now, you know the Astros made a trade yesterday, and they added a backup catcher. I know you know that. The Astros made that big backup catcher move. You know that, right?
Yeah, Martin Maldonado.
Right. So that was something that they really, you and I have been talking about that. They've got to add some catcher depth. That's something we've harped on for a while. And then the Yankees added Jay Happ to go as Zach Britton, whatever. They're just getting better. Did you also see that the Astros currently are potential sellers and that they are looking – that your boy
– You just got him on the phone to blast him on Colin McHugh.
I just wanted to tell him Colin McHugh right now has generated interest – from the Orioles and the who was the other team? I think I may have closed it. But Ken Rosenthal from the Athletic has said, yeah, the Astros are currently having some discussions with, I think it's Toronto and the Orioles, is they're interested in adding starting pitching. So Colin McHugh may be going. Astros are sellers. Just want to let you know they're selling.
Ken Rosenthal is the dumbest person I've ever. That is so untrue. Jeff Luna, how about I had dinner. Here's a little humble brag. I had dinner last night with Nolan Ryan. They had
never heard of
Allied Siding and Windows.
That's the only reason you got to talk to Nolan.
And Nolan, even Nolan was saying, I mean, it's not like we're idiots. Nolan was saying, yeah, just a little conservative when it comes to, you know, making deals. Everybody else is out there, flying around doing stuff.
But how did he say it? How did he say it? Like, I like to see him at starting make a relief pitcher or something, or pitcher or something, make a trade.
Well, or no question, you got to have some bullpen help, and I think that, you know, it's hard to argue with him because he is.
He won a World Series.
He got the ring.
I bet you wouldn't walk in. Bet you'd never go hog hunting. He's too scared.
He did. He said, you know, he's really good at that drafting stuff. So. I mean, all the things that we said, like Nolan Ryan agrees with. And you're if anyone believes that Colin McHugh could possibly be traded to a contending team, it is the biggest lie.
It was Toronto and Baltimore. Ever. I don't think they're contenders.
Oh, it's Baltimore?
Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me, but when there's Colin McHugh smoke, there's fire.
I don't get that. Why would you trade him to Baltimore? Unless
sellers, John, they're sellers.
Yeah,
I'm done with everyone.
I know. That's why I called you. Thanks, John. You can let John go now. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you on Tuesday. John's going to be out Friday and Monday. Yeah, that worked. That's what I thought would happen when I called and told him his boy Colin McHugh could be gone.
That's asinine, absurd.
Ken Rosenthal is a fool. Eric, what do you think about that? The Astros maybe moving one of their better arms out of the bullpen. That seems puzzling.
I can't believe he was with Nolan Ryan last night. It's so cool. so much name dropping happening over there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, on a day where he's home, not ice and knees. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with him, though. I mean, McHugh's not going anywhere. I just don't see anybody on a roster of Baltimore that you get in return that would be able to do better than McHugh's doing this year. Long inning guy in the bullpen.
Why would they be seeking Colin McHugh? It doesn't – the Astros, why would they move Colin McHugh unless there's something else at play? Like Jeff Lanoa has got to have something else working. But the other thing is, why would Baltimore be seeking out Colin McHugh?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. I know Colin McHugh is a starting pitcher in this league.
Maybe they're looking at him like, all right, this is part of our plan for next year. We're going to get him. He's going to be a free agent because I think he's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have the advanced negotiations and we're going to lock him in. And maybe they're looking at it like that to help.
But what
do
the Astros get in return? That's the problem.
That's the problem. You're about to go into a run here to try to repeat. There's no way you're getting rid of your best long inning guy.
I don't know. It's crazy. If you guys want to jump in, that's Eric Layden, Chris Solis. I'm Lance Erlanders. Dell is here. It is going to be a little bit of a snarky show. We're going to have some fun topics also. NFL-wise, Deshaun and JJ, full participation, but one star was not at full participation. We'll tell you about it. He happens to be in a contract year, too. We'll do that when we come back. 713-780-3776. 713 right here on the bench. Lance Erline, Eric Layden, Dale Olele, Chris Solis, all with you today. It's a big old party. Raheel will come in a little bit later, almost an extravaganza, if you will, on the show here with fewer calzones. So the Astros, yeah, they do make a trade for Martin Maldonado, a catcher from the Angels, and that's because right now Brian McCann is a little slow coming around. Max Stassi's not really the 300-hitting Max Stassi anymore. He's come back down to reality. I mean, he is what he is. It's what he's going to be.
Makes me worry about McCann a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. If for you to go pick up another catcher just in case on McCann, I would completely agree. Not worried as much about his hitting, but the experience with the staff, that's where you're going to have to win is with your starting staff, clearly, because you're not going to – you don't have a proven closer, so that makes you a little nervous. That's the thing, too, Eric. If you – right now, if you've seen all these other closers go to other teams, and you don't have a true – you know, a true number one closer. But you do have a guy who is an innings eater. And if you have to – one thing the Astros needed last year was Brad Peacock's ability to go two innings. McCullers, Morton, that was valuable because your bullpen was so wretched. Your true bullpen was so wretched. Doesn't that seem a little – that's the other curious thing. Why would you get rid of a guy like Colin McHugh who is a multiple inning eater and who's pitched really well? That doesn't make any sense at all to me.
I just don't see them getting rid of him. I mean, I that rumor, that's fine. I mean, Ken Rosenthal, no doubt he knows – you know what he's talking about. He's got his sources, but I find that hard to believe. I also think that the front office knows that they're not going to be able to duplicate, you know, the patchwork bullpen that we did last year in the playoffs. There's no way that they can put together the innings that they did last year. The reason our bullpen right now has such good numbers is our starting pitching goes the length. You know, I mean, they're going 7-8 innings.
Although Cole hasn't gone, you know, Cole in his last four hasn't gone seven innings. He's gone six.
Six.
They're actually starting to dial it back a little bit. And I don't know. And it's probably due to pitch count. But I don't know. If you go look at the innings count, the Astros innings are down for their starters.
High strikeout totals means high pitch counts invariably.
Right.
It makes it a little harder to go seven. 8 innings. I'm fine with it. Colin McHugh's not going anywhere. I think he's just too valuable as a bridge guy to the back of the bullpen.
Jake Mariznick, by the way. Not Jake Mariznick. What was I going to say? Martin Maldonado, by the way, is not – I mean, all that is not going to be something for – that is just, I think, a safety net for the Astros more than anything. So I do think
I think it is too, but you know, Chris is right. When we get down into the stretch, what McCann offers behind the plate is so much more valuable than, you know, his bat. I mean, his bat is there, but really what you need in that playoff run is somebody behind the plate who can manage that game. And McCann did that better than anybody that we've had. I mean, and you're not going to rely on Stassi to do that. You're surely not going to rely on Fedorowicz or Fedorowicz or whatever. You know, to do that.
Right. And Evan Gaddis, by the way, only had two games as catcher this year. So apparently they don't consider him the emergency option.
That's the thing. And how many times this year have you seen Verlander and Stassi not on the same page?
Yeah, you're right. McCann was Verlander's.
You know, McCann is Verlander's guy. Exactly. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if in the next couple weeks, if Maldonado starts catching Verlander. You know, because it didn't seem like Verlander and Stassi were ever on the same page. So it'd be interesting to see if, you know, he had something to do with that and whether or not, you know, he needed somebody to bring in a veteran catcher.
Maybe the case. You know, I'm just worried about McCann. Knee surgery on a 34-year-old catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Out 4 to 6 weeks. That projects to mid-August before he comes back. I'm a little nervous about Brian McCann.
Yeah, there's probably something to be a little bit nervous about. I'm more nervous about can you get the Yankees out with a lead in the eighth inning and ninth inning. That's what I'm really worried about now.
Well, that, yeah. Aaron Judge.
I don't think – but first of all, yeah, well, Judge you saw his, the Aaron Judge. I'm so, sure they'll go after they'll Bryce go, Harper today.
They'll just go at a bat. 3 weeks, chip fracture in his wrist. Aaron Judge is out at least 3 weeks. We'll see what happens.
But the Yankees, that's not – I mean, you're going to have to outscore the Yankees. You know, I mean, it's going to be about run. Yankees, the lineup is dangerous, but, you know, I'm not – on a day that Cole is matched up against Hap, like, that doesn't scare me.
Guys, like the Yankees are the wild card right now. They're 5.5 back of the Red Sox. They might not even make the show.
I know we're talking about the Yankees, but they're at. That's why they're adding a closer, Jay Happ, who has 40 wins since the beginning of 2016.
20 game winner last year or year before last.
Jay Happ is just another arm for the Yankees. I mean, they're doing it old school Yankee style where they just start stacking prospects as much as they can.
But there's no arms out there that are going to get them. There's no rotation they could build in the next 5 days before their deadline that's going to match up with the Astros rotation.
No, you're right.
And no way.
So
that's a good
thing. Not even close. So, I mean, their lineup is there, and there's no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, their rotation is not. So, and I agree, and the same goes for Boston. You know, I take Boston's lineup over our lineup offensively. Who wouldn't?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's without Carlos Correa even really cutting loose just yet. So, yeah, absolutely. That's why frankly, the bullpen stuff, and probably hardcore Astro Twitter is tired of hearing about, because they'll tell you that they've got numbers that show you the Astros are dominant closers and dominant bullpen and dominant everything. But we saw last year the same group of guys just completely gagged in the postseason. The starters had to bail them out. You and I talked about it last year on the podcast, Eric. We were leading up to the trade deadline where Jeff Leno's going to make a move. They got to make a move. And we all saw, McCullers was hurt. You had Dallas Keuchel was hurt and was just coming back. And then they didn't make a move. And we were all like, oh, and Charlie Morton was hurt. That's the other thing that we kind of forget. They had all their starters were hurt. They didn't make a move. The team got down in a dump. So they took a nosedive. Keuchel was pissed. Everyone was pissed. And then Verlander kind of fell into their laps. They kind of negotiated, and then it was a sales job on the Astros' end to make sure Justin Verlander would be happy going to Houston. And I don't think he regrets it. Based on the things he said, I don't think he regrets coming to Houston. Obviously, he won a World Series, but I think he likes the city and loves the teammates.
He pitched like Randy Johnson did in 98.
Randy Johnson who stayed in Houston.
Right.
Even better.
Yeah, I think more than anything, and a lot of fans think this of their team, but and you are closer to this team certainly than I am, but this team truly does look like a team that enjoys themselves and that gets along. And I think for a guy like Verlander at his age, if he can have success and he can be in a clubhouse that's not toxic, I think that's huge. That's a big bonus.
Let's get Jeff in here. He's the leadoff hitter, Eric, in case you didn't know. He is the George Springer of the show. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. So I don't know if you remember, I talked about Soria. He's gone. But the Rangers, they're in tank mode. They gave up Cole Hamels for peanuts. So Kayla is on the market. I think that's very tempting to go after. I still like Sergio Romo from the Tampa Bay Rays. I think he's a good 1-2 inning guy. However, home run hitting style, the low-key rumors are Jake DeGrom. And Forrest Whitley isn't exactly lighting the minor leagues on fire. And typically, stud pitchers light the minor leagues on fire. And Kyle Tucker, he's not really going to be good or useful to us until our window is closed, in my opinion. 26 in 5 years, our window's closed. What are your thoughts on possibly giving up Tucker, who's not going to be starting or really a big contributor for at least 3 to 4 years, in my opinion, and Forrest Whitley for Jake DeGrom, who's under team control for 3 years and would be able to replace Verlander in 3 years when his contract would be too much for the Astros to want to justify a 38-year-old pitcher? And I wanted to see what y'all thoughts on that. Going big for Jake DeGrom.
I think they already went relatively big for Gerrit Cole. I think they still believe in, obviously the Astros don't trade prospects, so I think they've got Whitley that they're counting on. I think McCullers is somebody they're counting on. I do think Keuchel will be gone. Charlie Morton may still be here, probably will still be here. Honestly, I don't think they'll go big like DeGrom, because the fact is they're going to have to pay down the road. They're going to have to pay, Bregman, not for a while, but Correa, Bregman, these guys are all going to start getting paid too.
That deal.
In arbitration and in the contracts.
That deal guts the minor leagues.
They're not doing, they don't even like denting the minor leagues that much. Not after, I feel like they're gun shy.
That's your number one and number two prospects.
Yeah, they're not doing that. Although Tucker, I don't care what Tucker's doing right now. Tucker's off to a slow start right now. I'm certainly not going to give up on Tucker. I mean, I saw Springer and your boy Alex Bregman get off to a slow start. And look what Bregman's doing now, Eric. Alex Bregman, he was called – Pedro Martinez called him mini Mike Trout. That's actually not – he didn't have the power, like the booming power, but that's actually not – well, he's Mike Trout good. With a lot more swag.
Yeah, the best term I've heard for Bregman is dirtbag, which I'd never known that baseball term. I love that term. He's in a good way. I mean, you know that.
It's always in a good way if you call somebody a dirtbag.
Yeah, he's my guy. I love Bregs. I've always thought he was our best player, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously there's Altuve, but I mean, I'd take Bregman right now over Correa as our, you know, number one guy.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, he's the team MVP right now.
No doubt, but I will say this. I forget what the name of the caller was. I forget
Jeff.
His name.
Jeff is a hard
leadoff guy.
Yep.
Dude, I love where Jeff's head's at. Mm-hmm. I love where Jeff's head's at. And I think that one thing, and I know that they will not gut our system, and they will definitely not give away those two guys. However, I'm with Jeff in the sense that I think there's an aspect to winning now and doing what you need to do to get over that hump, because this team is not going to be this team for 4 years down the road. And I don't know that you're going to be able to count on Tucker and Whitley down the road. So if you have a chance to go back-to-back, and I'm not saying you have to make the DeGrom move to do that, but I think that you do have to make moves now. When you're in a position, you're going to have enough, you're going to have the second year in a row, you're going to have an over 100-win team. And you know what, you know, you're coming off a World Series victory. This team knows how to do it. You know, I think you have to strike while the iron's hot. I love making a big move like that, even if it takes losing one of those main guys.
Yeah, but, you know, the one thing that he also brought up that in any – I would say this is 100% move in any other circumstance. But Kayla from the Rangers, I can't see the Rangers trading with the Astros. I just can't see him
that,
doing it.
That I agree.
I mean, he's the guy – look – you look at the numbers.
Baltimore did it within division with the Yankees.
Yeah, but
is Baltimore
this the
same? Has no spine.
Yeah, it's. I get it.
Well, Baltimore has no. Yeah, and it's not like the Rangers are just around. You know, the Rangers are in sell mode. The Astros should be calling and trying to pick anything. Cole Hamels was just dealt yesterday. Was finalized. If they can go pick a pitcher up, and Keon Kayla, 35 2/3 innings, he's given up 27 hits. That's, you know, pretty good. Only 3 home runs allowed, but 43 punch outs. That's what the Astros like. The guy that Richard Justice brought up yesterday, guys, is Ryan Pressly. And you look at Ryan Pressly, it's not going to excite you. He's 6'3", 210, so he fits a size profile. He's got 3.40 ERA. He's about the same innings pitch to hits. He's had 51 appearances, no saves, so he hasn't been put in that kind of high leverage situation. His whip now he's got 69 strikeouts to 47 2/3 innings. So he's over 13 strikeouts per 9. That's what the Astros love. But his whip numbers are 1.3. I mean, you know, you're just throwing – it would be another situation where you throw another arm in there to get ready to go closer by committee based on who's hot at that time. And I really think
we haven't talked about Ren. But we haven't talked about – I mean, do you not think that Hector Rondon is who they're looking at? Forget committee.
I do.
You know, yeah. I do not think that Rendon is who they are, you know, zeroing in on.
I 100% do. I just, and his numbers have been fine this year. I just, you know, he's never been in this high leverage. Look, Devo looked great last year. Devo, we talked about his excessive gum chewing, his hardcore aggressive gum chewing, where he was trying to swag himself by chewing his gum super hard and strutting out to the mound. And he had little, you know,
strut was money.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, until the ball, you know,
was leaving the hand in the, you know, some of the playoff games, that wasn't, and it got a lot less money. So you can't fake swag your way into beating good teams and getting good teams out. So,
but what does that have to do with Hector Rondon?
Well, what it has to do with him is I don't know the dude. He hasn't been in those situations. I'm glad that he's torturing the Twins and the, you know, Orioles and the Rangers. That's great. I think that's great. Try to torture the big boys. That's what I just don't know. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying I don't know if he can do it.
Well, I mean, I agree with you. We're going to have to put him in situations coming down the stretch to find out whether or not he can do it. But, you know, I've always been – I don't like the by committee. I mean, I just think that's a tough way to assemble your program.
I'm probably not.
But that's the way they've already done it.
With Rondon, he does have a background. I mean, he has a history of closing games. It's not entirely fair. And maybe I shouldn't just act like, well, if you never pitch in a World Series, you can't possibly be a closer. That's probably not fair either. So I think maybe they are going just build the bullpen, stick with Rondon. That's probably what the
Astros are looking at. 3 to 4 man rotation in the playoffs. That means you're getting McCullers or Morton in your bullpen.
I'm okay with the professor or McCullers in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to see the better McCullers.
Right.
Not the last two starts McCullers. 7:34. We're breaking right on time. Let's break it right now. When we come back, JD Clowney. Guess who's not 100% healthy? Clowney. 7:34 on the bench. I want to tell you, my good friends, about Menstee Clinic. I got to go in today. I get lab work done today. They're going to check. How is this going? How's the PSI level? How's this level? How's that? I don't know. PSI, is that a real one? Or is that, I think that's what your air and your tires are. But I don't know. They're checking some different levels. And they're going to make sure that I'm where I'm supposed to be. If not, they're going to adjust higher, lower. If there's any issues, they will find them. They always ask you, are you having this side effect or this side effect? No, okay, everything's good. Because when you have testosterone treatments, you need to make sure that you're doing it right. You need to make sure that you're safe. You need to make sure it's at the proper levels. And the problem you have is if you say, you know what, I'm pretty sure I have low testosterone, well, you need to find out from someone who's going to be honest with you. Because if you're not, there are companies out there who say, yeah, no, you're good. Let's cut it loose. Yeah, you probably shouldn't cut it loose if you're not supposed to. Imagine that. Menstee Clinic, your health comes first. Your happiness and well-being comes first. That's why if you are low in testosterone, those treatments can get you back to where you used to be. You're going to see a difference in your workouts, in your body type, in your overall mindset. You'll have much better drive. You'll have better libido if that's an issue for you, or you'll just find that your energy level is back to where it once was, and that lifts that cloud that's been covering you. It's that little funk. You can't quite get out of it. You lay around on the couch. You're always tired. Could be low testosterone. Get it checked out with Menstee Clinic. 4 locations in Houston, Cypress, Pasadena, Pearland, and my location, which is off of Durham and I-10 in the Heights. Make sure that you go to the website, MenstteeClinic.com, for information and to find a location nearest you.
There's certain guys, different categories of players. You know, some guys are active PUP, some guys are needing to just get back into a little bit better football shape right now as far as playing football. He comes under that category, but he'll be ready to go pretty soon here.
Do you expect him to put the pads on when the pads do
well? When we put pads on? Yeah, I don't know. That'll be Saturday. I would say probably not. I'm not concerned about him, though. I think we're just, you know, he wasn't able to, because of his rehab and all that, wasn't able to be in OTA, so we're just trying to be intelligent about the way we bring him back.
That's Bill O'Brien talking about Jadeveon Clowney, and Clowney is out. He put him in the basically not in football shape category. It's been very vague about if it's a minor injury, if it's a conditioning problem. I mean, O'Brien made it sound like it might be a conditioning problem. He did overall in
contract
his comments.
Contract condition.
Well, you would think he'd be in great contract condition, though. Usually in your contract year, isn't that when you...
That's man, when you, the contract condition is the best.
I remember...
Ask Odell Beckham Jr. He's
and he
showed up. He's in great
contract
condition.
He's like, hey, guys,
condition.
What's going on? There's no problems here.
Yeah.
There's no problems here. Everything's fine. I don't want to fight any kind of kicking nets. What are you talking about? I'm not on a boat in the middle of the season with Instagram models. What are you talking about? Everything's fine. It's contract year.
Let's play football.
Let's get out there. I want to hashtag rise and grind. Rise and grind, contract year. Eric, do you ever do that? Like, for those who don't know, by the way, Eric Layden, who's co-hosting today with me and Chris Solis and Dell, Eric is an actor. Eric, you're from, I'll just reset for people who don't know. You're from Houston. You went to high school here. You grew up here. Longtime Astros fan. You helped bring a world championship to the Astros, and yet
blindfolded.
Because you wore a blindfold during certain games, and every time you wore a blindfold, they scored runs in big situations. Jim Crane has given away – Dell, what's the last count on Crane's? Has he given away over 800,000 rings yet, or he gave them away at the ESPYs too?
Well, we have to include
people?
The ESPYs, right? And Texans opening day as well. He'll
okay,
give away
so he's giving
rings
away, so
at the Texans as
first
well.
First 70,000 people at the Texans first game, and practice is probably at Westbrier giving – or is it – is he giving away – whatever, Westbrier, Greenbrier. Well, he's giving
North
some
Breyer.
Away down on Westbrier, too. If you drive down there, they've got rings there.
He's got a guy dressed as Toro handing out rings.
Eric, how many people do you know who have who have Astros championship rings already?
Five.
Yeah. Your five. Dad, your
yeah.
whole family?
Oh, yeah, whole family. Yeah. Mom, dad, rolling rings.
All iced up.
Do you have yours? Yeah. You got to have yours.
You know what? Yeah, yeah, I got mine. Yeah. I got mine. It's on the desk.
I don't have
I don't
one
wear
yet.
It.
No.
I don't
no
wear
ring
it.
Here.
It's heavy, though. It's like a real ring.
Oh, no, it's a heavy. It's a real ring. But he hands them out, no problem. You just go ask him. He'll get you a ring. He'll
yeah.
ring.
Mr. Crane, do you think he has, when there's been a rings panhandler?
Don't be like, you know when you're like, you're in Namibia and you see like the old championship shirts for the team that didn't win?
Yeah.
You know, like when people gotcha. Walking down the street, you know, they're also wearing Astros World Series rings.
Yeah, only that's a
I
championship
was thinking,
ring.
Jim Crane, you know, like some older gentlemen have like butterscotches in their pockets. He might just have some rings.
I think you're thinking of. I think you're thinking Werther's Originals.
Werther's Originals.
Yeah, butterscotch.
Where you just yeah, like a hard candy. Yeah.
Here you go, young
yeah,
man.
Yeah, like a hard, just a sucking candy.
Come over here for a second. You ever seen this? How would you like one?
Okay. How would you like a Werther's Original? Pick one hand. Here's a ring or a Werther's.
Which one do you pick? This one. It was a trick. They're both championship rings. Congratulations. It's like Willy Wonka of baseball titles.
Come sit on Mr. Crane's lap.
I guess there's just no way of knowing.
The Namibia black market's flooded with Buffalo Bills Super Bowl t-shirts
all
and Jim for Crane's sure. rings.
So,
Jim,
you know, it's all Atlanta Braves and Buffalo Bills t-shirts.
Yeah, and they had to get some real championship rings in there to make it official. Yeah. So, Eric, you're an actor. You're also a huge Astros fan. You still represent the Houston sports scene as well. Like, big time. When you're out on shoots with things like that, you were shooting Six, which Eric is an actor in the show Six. It's on History Channel right now. He's a darker character, Trevor. Is a little darker. But he's got some skeletons.
Yeah, Trevor goes dark.
He goes a little dark. But while you were shooting that, you were watching the World Series and sweating it like anybody would. Like anybody would who was a lifelong Astros fan.
Is watching a World Series in Canada? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I had to find a bar that would take, you know, amateur hockey off the TV and let me watch the World Series.
How was that? And I bet your actor friends were completely and totally down with what you're doing too, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, actors, they're just such sports aficionados.
Did they think you were they sitting there like, what are you doing? Who cares about baseball?
Well, listen, I've got there was one actor on the show who's a Brit, and believe it or not, even though he doesn't know the game, he appreciated it the most because of his relationship with Liverpool football.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, and he is an absolute nut when it comes to – you know, like
your
during the
team.
World Cup. Yeah. So he gets it, you know, so he actually he came to my apartment to watch the SC Texas game, and saw the intensity that was, and he, you know, and he watched me through the World Series run. So, you know, he could actually appreciate that.
So, and I bring that up because Chris and I were, well, you know, we're going to have to do it here. We're going to break it here in a second, but I do want to get into how you are able to keep up with your teams, like what modes and methods, because it's not going to be easy for you to see Astros games or Texans games, Rockets games, whatever you're trying to watch from when you travel, wherever you are. And Chris does a lot of traveling too. What about
MLB
when you're
at bat?
Yeah, but that's an app. You can't actually see the game, can you?
Sure, you can.
MLB
at bat is. Oh yeah, I watch every game on MLB at bat.
And then Sunday Ticket on DirecTV.
But do you still get the local hometown, like
yeah,
the
sure. If you're in LA, you certainly.
Oh,
do.
No,
yeah.
If you're in LA, but if you're signing up, like if you go Sunday Ticket on your mobile device, but your home base is Houston, do they heckle your home team where they won't show your home team game? Have you tried that where the Texans aren't playing?
I don't know that. I would have.
No, I don't know that with the Texans, but with the Astros, you can choose your feed. So you could choose your local feed.
How much does that cost?
You know, some people I don't pay for it. That's why I'm giving it a plug right now.
Yeah.
So MLB at bat. It's a great app. Everybody should have. No, it's like $25-$29 a month, maybe. Yeah.
And then you get all the games.
Yeah, you get every game.
If you're a hardcore Astros fan, that's worth it.
You can customize the app. You know, you can customize the app to actually show the Astros logo on your home screen. It's got a lot of fun features.
That's nice stuff. We have Texan stuff coming up, but Google has a pretty sweet cafeteria. And now San Francisco wants to shut down their cafeteria and say, yeah, y'all can't do this anymore because it's hurting the local restaurants. I want to get into that. And also, Chris has something to ask you about craft services, because sometimes the catering game isn't quite what everyone thinks it's going to be. Free food isn't always good food. I think you'll find that out. I found that out on Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday and Wednesday. I went and had lunch, breakfast, and dinner somewhere, and not that good. I know it is good, Prime Social. They're not giving you free food. They're not giving you free drinks. Well, I think if you're at the table, you get hookups. I got to check and see. But I do know this much. They redid the menu at Prime Social. I had a brisket burger, which is phenomenal. Guess where I had it? Right in the middle of playing a No Limit Hold'em tournament. Now, is that something you typically see where you're eating burgers and tater tots right next to the table on a rolling table right next to your seat with 9 other guys at the table? I don't care. I've got a napkin. I'll wipe down my cards. And if I mark the cards with a little grease, it is what it is. I don't think I'll get any advantages. It's not intentional, but a nice greasy burger is something I like. And that's what the brisket burger is. It's fantastic. The cards are fantastic. No Limit Hold'em tournament going on today at noon. I think I'm going to try to get out there and play and take everyone's money. That's what you can do as well. Noon tournaments. You got a big $500 tournament tomorrow where it's a $500 entry fee, but you can imagine what the payoff is going to be. And then on Sunday, you've got a tournament starting at 2:00. No Limit Hold'em, Pot Limit Omaha, cash games are available all the time. They're open 24 hours from Thursday through Sunday. So anytime you want to go in and get some action, you can cash in, sit down, and test yourself against other people. Go compete. Go make some money. Go have some fun in the nicest, safest environment in the city of Houston. Beautiful, beautiful location. Beautiful, wait step. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but I mean, it is true. In fact, another poker place is like, we want to sue you because you're enticing our players with good-looking hostesses and great food. Well, too bad. Have better poker than dummies. Go to PrimeSocialTX.com. That's PrimeSocialTX.com. 7801 Westheimer between Voss and Fondren. But I'm zero.
Yeah, he's put a lot of time in. You know, he's in there early. He studies on his own. He watches a lot of tape on his own. He studies the playbook on his own. You have to. If you want to be successful in this league at quarterback, you got to be obsessed with football. I mean, there's just no other way to be successful. If you're not obsessed with football as a quarterback in this league, then you really have no chance. And so that's what he is. He has a passion for the game. He loves to learn. He tries to get better every day. And that's just who he is.
That's Bill O'Brien talking about future Hall of Fame quarterback Deshaun Watson on pace for 48 touchdown passes this year. According to Granato's article, which is good. It's not bad. It's approaching Peyton Manning's 50 touchdowns. It's not quite there, but when you add in the rushing touchdowns, I think he could obviously surpass Manning. And I think, provided he stays healthy, clearly the MVP favorite, Deshaun Watson.
Oh, obviously.
I mean, I'm working off of Granato's statistical projections. He did have Carlos Correa in the 40 home run mix. I'm not sure that's going to hit unless he gets really, really hot in the second part of the season. I will say this, though, about Deshaun Watson. Everything and all jokes aside, everybody, what Bill O'Brien is saying now about Deshaun Watson, what he just said, he's been saying this forever since he first, and Bill O'Brien was not heavily involved in the drafting of Deshaun Watson. That was Rick Smith. Rick, in general, was average to below average with team building and organization building. But I tell you what, he really got the Deshaun Watson thing right, without question. And one of the things that makes, you know, one of the things that could separate Deshaun Watson from, I don't know, I don't want to say Ryan Leaf, but Vince, who had started off well and then kind of tailed out because he didn't put the time in. Manziel didn't put the time in. We'll see if Baker Mayfield does it. Carson Wentz, they say, lives up there and is a dude. Russell Wilson is a dude. Like, certain guys are dudes that everyone gravitate towards.
Jameis.
Jameis, people gravitate towards Jameis. He just hasn't really.
He's just got.
He just hasn't done it yet.
He's a clown off the field, and he throws a lot of interceptions.
Mm-hmm. But he's a leader on the field. But it's,
sure,
you can lead, but at some point you got to lead by example too, like touchdown example.
And yeah, not throw it to the other team.
Jameis is, man, everyone swears by this guy's football character. But if you turn it over and you don't get win, like ultimately you have to. It's one thing to do the right things in the weight room and the film room and all that stuff. But at some point, if you're going to be a winning quarterback, you got to perform.
I still think he has a chance, but this is his last chance.
But it's also easier to trust a guy if he's not a clown off the field. You know what I mean? I mean, it's easier to give that guy a little extra leash if he's a leader in your locker room, if he's a dude, if he leads by example, if off the field he's not an absolute train wreck. And Jameis hasn't proven that. So, like, you can't check two of the boxes. You can't throw it to the other team and be a clown off the field.
And, you know, and you don't have to, like, Carson Wentz, I think this is a great example of how you just really can't. Everyone loves, in our society now, everyone loves to put a label on you, and that's done, and they're done with you. And whatever it is, whatever label they want to put on you, whether it's in sports, or personality, or your ethnicity, you're this, you're that, whatever labels people like to put on you. The fact is, and they like to say, make it cookie cutter, especially in sports, and say, well, if a guy is this tall, this fast, this, and this, he's more likely to do this. Well, here's something that you can't. Like, we know Walter Payton, Jerry Rice, great, great players, small schools, right?
Right.
So you look at Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was a two-year starter at North Dakota State. He was also injured, so he didn't even have – like, I wrote him up. I saw all the things you wanted to see from a good NFL quarterback. I gave him a good grade. I had him as, like, the seventh or eighth best player in the draft class. He went to North Dakota State. The competition he faced, he didn't even – I can't remember if he even played in their playoffs. I think he was hurt, so he didn't even play in their playoffs. And
I think he played. I think he played. They won like back to back when he was there. I think
maybe he played in one of them and not the second one. But he came from North Dakota State, and I'm here to tell you right now, he's going to be awesome. He really is. Russell Wilson was a graduate transfer because Maryland's like, or North Carolina State said, yeah, it was North Carolina State, right? So it's one Maryland.
Yeah,
it was NC State. They are like, yeah, you're not going to be good enough. We're going to replace you anyway, your senior year, so you might want to just beat it. So I can't remember who.
I forget the coach's name, but the coach basically just gave him his walking papers. And you remember, Dell, who was the coach at NC State?
Something O'Brien. Was it
Tom O'Brien?
Tom O'Brien.
Yeah. Who was the quarterback?
Russell Wilson to hit the brick.
He said, hey, beat it. I want to play Mike Glennon.
It was Mike Glennon?
What?
Yeah, that's exactly. It.
So Russell Wilson goes to Wisconsin, does well, ends up getting drafted, what, third round? I think he was third round.
Yeah, third round.
Russell's been awesome. That was his path. And by the way, he's sub 6 foot. Deshaun Watson took the path that you'd prefer. He went to a big name school, was a 3-year starter, competed in 2 national championships, and put those B's on Alabama's defense in back-to-back years. Well, guess what? It just so happens that all that stuff he did against Alabama, Eric, is transferable. Big surprise. But what I'm saying is you can't always, like, the path, you can't just say there's only one path to doing it as a quarterback. It's way too unpredictable. It is, do you have the talent? Do you have the quickness of mind? And are you willing to put the time in to be great?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. Listen, there's not a path for anything, though, right? I mean, we know that. I mean, look at your path to get into radio versus, you know, other people's path to get into radio. It's, you know, there is no blueprint for this. And at the end of the day, do you compete at a level in which you can win on the biggest stage under the brightest lights? And I don't think anybody you know, doesn't believe that Deshaun Watson can do that. I mean, he's, I think he gets a lot more noise than he should. But that being said, he, you know, I mean, he was a 500 quarterback when he's, you know, last year. But that being, you know, he's very good.
Whoa,
and we know
that. Dell Layden? What are you, a 500 quarterback? He was basically 6-0.
Exactly. Exactly. In the minds, it's, you know, yeah. which is when you're a Houston Texans fan and you've never had a quarterback, it's amazing what else will turn into, you know, like by Wednesday of the
those
following
were
week.
Mike well, Vrabel losses.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Vrabel caught those L's.
You know, if we did this or if so-and-so dropped. Yeah. Uh-huh. I question whether or not Deshaun Watson will be able to stay healthy this year. I have no doubt that he's going to be a great quarterback for the Texans.
God. I'm so glad John Granato's not here to hear this.
I really don't know. I don't think he's going to stay healthy. Like, I think Granato needs to hit that number by game 7, or he's going to be in trouble.
Well, he's healthy right now, and he did come off the ACL and do great things at Clemson in back-to-back years. The question is, you know, can this be the last ACL?
That's how he does it with two ACLs.
Yeah. Can this be the last ACL? I mean, he's had them both fixed, right? So I think they're stronger and better.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's how it works. Let's break it right here. When we come back, we'll jump back in for more. We'll get to your how good is the place where you eat? You have a little cafeteria in your place? We'll see if it's as good as Google's. 8 o'clock here on the bench.